from Brisbane, Australia. This is episode 58 of The Normal Blokes, a podcast dedicated to improving the competitive 40k experience. I'm Denise, and today we're joined by the data monkey, Mr. Luke Pierce.
Hey guys, how we doing?
All right, so today we're going to be doing a pretty deep dive into the ITC Champions Mission secondaries and some of the stats generously provided by Down Under pairings. So we'll be going through the requirements and nuances of each secondary and I guess the pros and cons of each of them and seeing what type of armies really benefit from selecting some of the secondaries and what type of armies really suffer from, you know, your opponent selecting these secondaries against you. First, we'll be starting with some general stats, and then we'll be breaking the episode into two parts. The first part covering the seek and destroy or killing secondaries, and the second part covering the maneuvering secondaries. So, Luke, how are you going? You staying sane?
Yeah, just barely. Just playing games, painting some models.
Yeah. What are you painting at the moment?
Oh, still working on the GK. It's a slow progress.
Yeah, man. I've been trying to get my 40k fixed playing Tabletop Simulator. It's all right, but waking up early in the morning to get games is pretty rough.
Yeah, because you're playing in a few international tournaments, right?
Yeah, there's a couple of cool events. Like Tactical Tortoise is running like a 8-pod league. The Colorado guys and some of the Canadian guys are running tournaments, so it's been pretty cool. But yeah, it's good to get the games, but it's not the same as tabletop, you know, real tabletop.
Nah, you need to hold your plastic, you know.
Yeah, that's
hold
it. Your but what we have been doing on TTS is playing a lot of ITC. And one thing we'll go through, I guess, to start is what the ITC missions are. So, Luke, could you give us a quick summary on the scoring behind the ITC missions, the primary and secondary?
Yeah, so basically for anyone who's new to ITC, the primary mission basically focuses on map control, and also killing units. So basically you get a point if you kill one in a turn and a point if you hold an objective in a turn. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the battle round, if you hold more and if you kill more, you get an additional point. And then per each mission, there's an additional bonus objective, which is maybe hold all point, you know, 4 points with characters or something like that. And that'll give you an extra point towards the primary. So the primary mission is capped. I think, what is it, at 30?
30, so it's 5 points a turn, kill one, hold one, kill more, hold more, bonus for six turns, yeah, so 30.
Yeah, that's right. And then the secondary is a little bit different this season for ITC. So secondary before, you could just sort of pick whatever secondary is best suited what you're playing and what your opponent. But now they sort of changed it so it's a little bit less more... list design and just kill your opponent, and it's a little bit more maneuver around the map and control the board a bit more. So they've made seek and destroy secondaries, which are basically find and kill certain types of units in your opponent's army, and maneuver secondaries, which are basically board control type secondaries. And you can get total 12 points from your secondaries.
Yeah, so you select three of them, and I think the biggest thing that started with the most recent update is you have to select one seek and destroy, and you have to select one maneuver secondary. So you can't bottle yourself into just moving or just killing. You've got to actually do stuff. And then outside of those two groups, you have old school, which you can select as well, which is First Strike, Slay the Warlord, Linebreaker, Last Blood. But yeah, I guess, Luke, if you want to hit us with some just general stats about what's good, what's not good, I guess, and what's been scoring well, and then we'll dive into each secondary individually. But yeah, go for it, man.
Yeah, cool. So basically using data from Down Under Network, which is now paired with the ITC Battles app. Mm-hmm. So any data that you enter from a game and you confirm the results, basically it sends it to Down Under Network and they can take the data from the game, see what secondaries were picked, see how many primaries were scored for each player, who went first, whatnot. And then it puts all this into data files that you can download free at will, and then you can go through them yourselves at any time. So basically... through the use of this app and Down Under Network, there's a huge data bank of game stats. Mm-hmm. And you can siphon them anytime you want. That's it's all free, yeah. I think.
And I was going to say, Luke, anyone who hasn't got the ITC Battles app, it's amazing. And it's awesome to keep track of, you know, not only your practice games, but your tournament games. You can look at win percentages, things like that, and what secondaries you pick. So, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So that's basically what I've done. I've taken the data off Down Under Network, and I've done it against what... basically in general first, so all the general secondaries. So just first off, Denise, I want to ask you, what do you think in this new meta, what do you think were the top scoring or are the top scoring secondaries right now?
Look, I would have to say top scoring secondaries right now would be Reaper, Recon, and Engineers.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good picks, man. Almost spot on. So Reaper is actually the top at the moment.
Yep.
It's about 3.5 points scored per game on average. Yeah, and we'll get into that a little bit later, but just think about what armies are in the meta at the moment, yeah. So like Marines and whatnot.
Marines,
so,
GK, Nids, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So Reaper's definitely at the top right now. Before, it was also one of the highest scoring secondaries of the old ITC secondaries, mm-hmm. But it scored only 3.2 points.
only an average of 3 out of 4.
Yes, so generally these are... So put it this way... Your three and above are your excellent secondaries. They're reliable. They're going to be your best chance of winning on a general basis. Obviously, you'll have to adapt these as you go. Your 2 points and plus are probably your more balanced secondaries. They're more situational, and they're sort of like a good feeling if you can't find a good third secondary. And 2.5 is probably like that's a good solid one as well.
Mm-hmm.
Anything probably below 2, I would say, is a little bit riskier and a little bit harder to do, and probably unless your army is designed specifically to do it, I would probably stay away from it.
And you should probably, you know, read the long, like 200-word paragraph of text before you select King of the Hill.
Yeah. But, read the first part, you're like, yeah, this is cool.
Oh, shit. All right, yeah, what's next, Luke? What's second best?
Okay. So second best one is Gangbusters. So a little bit different to what you said, Denise, but Gangbusters is big, scoring 2.73 on average.
Wow, so is Reaper the only one above 3?
Currently, yes.
Wow. Okay.
Just to be clear, the sample sizes for the newer secondaries is around, can be as little as 200 games played to... highest is 2,000 games played. So take into account the sample size, but I think once you get to about 700 games, it gets a little bit more clear.
Fair enough.
Some of them, which I'll mention when they're below a certain number of games played, I'll mention that just to keep it clear. So Gangbusters is big at the moment because if you think about all the big, the meta kind of, at the moment, is like elite stuff with a lot of wounds. So Grey Knights, double pallies, and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and Centurions, and whatnot. So
Centurions, aggressors. Yeah, cool. And what's number three at the moment?
Number three would be Headhunter at 2.63.
So they're all killing secondaries that are top three.
Mm-hmm,
that's really interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. This is just my perception, but at the moment, it seems like people have got like two or three big units and then a bunch of characters to buff them. So it makes sense that those are the big three. And Recon, Recon's up there as well.
Yeah.
It's tied for Headhunter.
Yep.
And the new Recon's only got 108 games played.
Okay.
But it's at 2.72. I think having the ability to score 2 recon points in a turn is making it a good secondary to pick as well.
Like a lot of those maneuver ones where you can double tap them in a turn, I'm really liking. But I guess let's systematically go through them, Luke, if you're ready.
Yeah, I'm keen.
So first one, the outlier, is Old School. What do you got for us on Old School? So actually, I'll probably go through it first.
So, sounds good.
Let me open this up. Sorry. So Old School, we've got a secondary point for getting a kill in your first turn. We've got a secondary point for killing your opponent's Warlord. We've got a secondary point for getting a kill in your final turn. And a secondary point for, behind enemy lines or line breaker, which is having a unit wholly within your opponent's deployment zone. So, what have we got on Old School, Luke?
Old School, it's an average one at the moment. It's about 2.4, so it's somewhat reliable. I think it's one of those secondaries that you pick when you can't pick anything else.
Yeah.
And I think it's 2.4 because people, like, you can get the first, first strike, last strike, and line breaker are sort of easy to get. It's most of the time you'll either get 3 or you'll get 2.
Yeah.
It's rare that you'll get all 4. That's what I feel.
Yeah. Or, and sometimes it's like it feels like old school, and we might say this a few times, but that there are some secondaries that are kind of associated with your win condition. So let's say Headhunter, you need to kill some characters, you got to kill some characters. Old school, if you're not like stomping your opponent and you're not winning, it's pretty hard to do it. Like usually it's pretty hard to get to a Warlord, usually it's pretty hard to get Linebreaker if you're losing, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the same thing, like in the last battle, last strike, if you're stomping, you're probably going to
get before
turn six. So like, if it is your win condition, like it's going to be part of your win condition if you pick this pretty much. Otherwise, you're going to get 2 points probably.
Yeah.
And if it's your win condition, you're probably going to get 3 points because you'll either overkill your opponent or you won't be fast enough to get Linebreaker.
That's it, yeah. So I guess, what are armies that you think can do this well? Armies that win games.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think GK at the moment could do it pretty well.
Yeah.
Because it's, yeah, I mean, they can easily just kill what they need to kill, save a unit for the last turn, and then just kill it out and then teleport to the end of the board. That's, you know, fairly easy to do.
Yep.
I think GSC can't do it anymore after the nerfs to, what's it called? The thing where they came from below or whatever it is.
And GSC has a little bit of trouble getting turn one kills, so, I mean, they kind of struggle with this one. I actually think Tau does this really well.
Because, or even Linebreaker, you reckon?
Yeah, man, because they can just throw a commander late game if it's alive, or they can throw like double if they're smashing, they can double move a Riptide out, and like, and true. Of course, turn one they've got SMS, so they have the ability to pick up a small unit. So I actually think this is not bad for Tau.
One thing I wanted to mention. I think it's one of those ones where you have to be aware of where you want to be to get all 4 points. So that's like, it. If you are playing that Tau, you'll have to be all right. I've chosen this secondary. A, on the first turn, I must kill something. So I need to commit everything. And if something flops, I'm going to overkill it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like an issue there. And the last last point for Linebreaker is that you'll have to be either at the middle of the board with an immobile shooting army, unless, you know, you've got the commanders or whatnot, or in range by at least turn three, just to be able to maneuver and get where you need to be reliably.
Yes. Yeah, that's it. I guess old school is kind of a middle of the road one. Let's dig into our seek and destroy secondaries. So the killing ones, we got number two, was it, or number three top scorer, Headhunter.
That's right.
So yeah, it's you get awarded 1 point for killing a model with the character keyword.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I mentioned before, I think the meta is definitely involving probably at least double battalion most of the time now. So you've got four characters. Or otherwise it's got elite components, like two or three sort of queens, as people like to call them, which are like your big players of the game, your super buff units, and then, you know, four or so characters to buff them. So Space Marines have, you know, the Litanies, the Apothecary for Iron Hands, the Smash Captains, Mephiston, Banner things for Blood Angels. So there's a bunch of characters that people need. Eldar, it's a bunch of Psykers, you know, for Doom and whatnot. So I think Headhunter is quite reliable at the moment. There's always at least you can score 4 points from it. But it's part of your win condition, right?
That's it. And now there's a lot of factions that can do that and target characters. You know, you've got a number of Imperial factions with a crazy amount of snipers. You've got GSC that can snipe characters. You know, you've got Tau with a more mobile build at the moment that can get to characters. So, there's definitely armies that can do it well. So it makes sense that it's up there.
Yeah. Do you think if you pick Headhunter, do you think that you're pretty much, you know, confident you're going to win the game?
So I personally don't like Headhunter.
I don't like it either.
Just because the way the army I'm playing at the moment, which is Deathwatch, how it functions. But I pick it if I think that, let's say I'm playing a Harlequin's army, right? And they can't really chill back, and they can't really not send characters to kill stuff.
Yeah,
if they've got an army or something like a Blood Angels army that's going to have some smash characters and less of the big bombs, or, you know, a Space Wolf army that wants to come in, Headhunter's nice when you know your opponent wants to commit characters, and you know that, you know, even if you can't actively reach them, if their damage is all in characters, it's not a bad idea to do it, because then they'll send one in to get some kills, and then you just pick up a kill and a Headhunter, so you're positive on that trade. So that's probably the only time I take it. Otherwise, I don't really like having to seek out the characters without, you know, a dedicated sniping unit or a dedicated hypermobile unit that can do that job and get out really quick.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point that if they've got smash captains or smash characters that are doing a lot of their damage, that you pick head under, because even if that's all their damage, and a smart player most of the time would either commit to not sending their characters in and playing an alternate route, you would then benefit from that because they're not dealing their max damage.
That's exactly right. Sense. Yeah.
So it's like I've picked Headhunter. I know it's in your army. I know that's your damage, but you're going to lose this trade one way or another. You're going to come to me and give me 4 points, or you're going to stay away, keep 4 points off me, but I'm going to do everything else.
And then you say, okay, I'll just win the primary then if you're going to stay away from me.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
So that's why I like Headhunter in those situations. But yeah, it's interesting that it's doing really well. I guess Space Marine Eliminators and GK teleporting around the board, they help that pretty well.
Well, do you think Eliminators are common at the moment? I think they've fallen off again.
I think they have as well. Actually, you know what I like, mate? I like Lias Isodon and 30 Scout Snipers dropping in. I like 9 of those Stalker Vaulter Intercessors for Deathwatch dropping in and killing characters. Like
those Stalkers, yeah, that's crazy.
So there are still things, maybe not Eliminators exactly, but there are still things that do all right against characters, yeah.
Yeah, I think Eliminators dropped off with the Doctrine's nerf.
Yes.
Because you only really saw them in Imperial Fists or Iron Hands, and now, I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. They did.
They're still great, but people just, you know, don't take it unless it's, you know, they see it as overpowered, I guess.
Yeah. So. The one downside, I guess, I mean, we're going a bit off topic, but the one thing about Eliminators is you're paying like a stupid amount of points per wound compared to a Primaris, you know, Marine. So
exactly. And there's so much Ignores cover right now.
That's
and
it.
And so it's just like, cool, there's your 72 point unit gone.
Yeah. The second it's easy kill cover. One. That's it, it's right? Yeah, it's an one. Easy kill one.
You know, Night Spinners, bang, squad dead.
Yeah, yeah, Night Spinners or like Hive Guard, bang, squad's dead.
All right, next secondary is Born for Greatness. So this is a fan favorite for you, isn't it?
Mate, this is... So I've got one favorite Seek and Destroy, one favorite maneuver. This is by far my favorite Seek and Destroy. I know it's shit, but I almost always take it on Mephiston when I'm playing a game that doesn't matter.
Mephiston was born for greatness. See,
I want to see how safe I can keep him and how many points I can actually bleed from this moron that's like 145 points in toughness 5. I just want to see what I can do, because if he brings me like 3 points, I'm like, cool, bro, you've done your job.
He's actually excellent. Like, he's probably the most points efficient model in the game right now, in my opinion, because he's just such a beat stick. He's cheap and he's survivable. So if you need to throw him in, he can, because he can move 24 inches.
And dude, you just like send him forward, capture an objective in the middle of the board, and then in the opponent's turn, you just luckily get a deny. Oh, cool. Second born for greatness point.
Yeah.
Anyone so comes to you, heroic intervention into something useless. Oh, third point.
Well, he'll kill something, he'll deny a power, and he'll hold an objective. Yeah, so what's that? 3 points you get from him.
Yeah, the only downside to it is you give up, well, not you're forced to, but you can often put a character in a shit position for Born for Greatness.
Yeah.
Like, it's good if you have a fight on death. It's good if that character wants to take the middle of the board and wants to deny and things like that. It's really good in those roles. So, like, I reckon Hive Tyrants, that, you know, you're not seeing that many Hive Tyrants at the moment, but they're excellent at holding an objective and not moving if there's other threats. Like, if you've got Hive Guard, Warriors, Exocrines, no one's going to shoot a fucking Hive Tyrant, man. They want to shoot your damage down. Mm-hmm. On top of that, he can be neg one to hit and things like that. On top of that, he can deny, and there's Shadow of the Warp, so that makes it easier. And he's got hypermobility to pull out units and kill them. So I think for a Hive Tyrant, it's pretty good. Some people take it on Tau Commanders. I'm not super keen on that, but yeah, what do the stats say? It doesn't sound like it's an amazing secondary.
So, Born for Greatness. You're not going to like this, D. It's 0.9.
0.9, so under 1.
Out of 100 games, it's got 0.9 points.
I'd like to think I'm trying to pull that average up for everyone. But,
man, I'd like to see the individual games, because there'll be Denith.
Yeah.
2 points per game. I think, yeah, what you said is right, but I think... with a lot of people's armies at the moment, they've built those characters as either smash sticks where they go in and make it an efficient trade, or they made them as like a support character, and they're not doing the other things that they need to do. So they're doing the kill. They're not holding an objective outside the zone. They can't deny a psychic power because they're too far back. They can't heroically intervene unless someone commits on them. And if they do, they probably charge them and killed them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of like a... it seems like 100 people experimented and 100 people have not returned.
Yeah. I've played one tournament game with Born for Greatness on Meth, or maybe two. I've played like very few, and it's been actually been pretty good, those games, but almost every practice game I play Born for Greatness, it sounds great, and then Meth just dies turn two, and it's like, ah, fuck. And it's just like Headhunter, right? It's, if your opponent's got that, it's like, cool, the second Meth's out of position, just kill him, and you can never get those secondary points again. And any secondary, exactly. Yeah, any secondary that, you know, that there's a way for your opponent to physically stop you getting it, like killing a character or like killing engineers, yep, or killing your sappers, like that immediately puts the power into your opponent's hand. And that's not something you want in a 40K game where you've got a certain thing, a certain level of, or a certain number of things you can control and a whole heap of shit you can't control. You want to control as much as you can.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yep. So things like the, yeah, Born for Greatness and engineers and sappers. Oh, that's your scoring well. Point. And if I kill it this turn, you can't score 4 points for the rest of the game. Cool.
Yeah.
So it's basically a 4 point differential.
Yeah, that's it, right? Yeah.
Or 5 point because they'll get kill one. You know what I mean? So
yeah. So as much as I love Born for Greatness, it's shit, guys.
Yeah. Avoid it unless you've designed a list to specifically tackle that secondary. Maybe a rework. Maybe like pick more than one character. I mean, I get the idea. Yeah, Born for Greatness, one guy is going to be a hero. But
so I actually pick it if I don't have any other kill secondaries that I want to take. So I'll take two maneuvers and one kill, because a couple of things for Born for Greatness, which is hold an objective outside your zone and start and end a battle round in your opponent's deployment zone. They are maneuver type things. So if you're getting 2 points from a kill secondary that doesn't involve you killing, that's actually not a bad thing. So if there's an army that I can't kill at all, like literally cannot fucking kill, then I don't mind taking it. But
can't pick another secondary today, old school, because it's 3 times more points on average. So, I mean...
But meth, bro. Yeah, no, I understand.
Are you saying meth or meth?
I'm definitely saying Mephiston.
I honestly wouldn't be able to tell at this point if you're taking Born for Greatness over old school.
Yeah, you're right. It's probably better, right?
All right. Shall we move on to Marked for Death?
Yeah, so Marked for Death is... my phone just locked.
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
Okay, so it's choose 4 points, four units of your opponent's army, each worth 120 points or more, and earn 1 point for each of these units destroyed. And just as a secondary note, if a unit that splits, so like, I don't know, what's it called? Intercessor squad that splits, you have to kill both components of the unit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how are people doing on this one?
So, Marked for Death, let me look. So the old one, it's pretty much... Huh.
Because the old one was power level 7, wasn't it? Yeah, to select.
Yeah. So this is interesting. So the old Mark for Death was 2.72, so fairly reliable.
Mm-hmm.
The new one with 150 games is 1.7.
No way. I thought the new one would be way easier.
So did I. But, I mean, power level 7, how many points does power level 7 equate to?
It's about 130, 140, right? Like, it's about 20 points per power level. The reason I like the new one is there's like little units that sneak out of that gap that are power level 6 but are still like 130 points.
Yeah, fair.
So
yeah.
Like I thought it's made it a bit easier. But maybe Luke, because you don't have the overlap with other secondaries anymore with Mark for Death, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. So it's either that or people's army compositions are a lot different now.
Mm.
So like the meta is definitely, well, at least in my opinion, the, you know, two or three key units that are big, hard-hitting units that people want to focus on. So,
yeah.
I mean, Mark for Death covers those, but then sometimes there's not enough good stuff that you're going to get to by the end of it.
Yeah. So this
all
is
those units keep you occupied for so long that you don't get to the backfield units that are the points that you want.
Yeah. So I actually like Mark for Death when, let's say you've got, let's say you're playing like a, I actually had this situation the other week. I was playing a White Scars army that had... a jump Libby that I wanted to kill and a jump Chappie I wanted to kill with some character sniping Deathwatch. It had a repulsor execution I wanted to kill and it had one other unit that I wanted to kill. And I was like, crap, I can't take, what do you call it? Big game Hunter. I can't take Headhunter. So I was like, cool, I'll just Mark for Death the things that I want to kill and I'll just go from there.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. So they can't overlap right now, right?
No, they can't. So, like, if your opponent doesn't give up Headhunter on some beefy characters that are more than 120 points, or some, you know, doesn't give up big game on more than 1 or 2 points for a vehicle, you can just be like, okay, mark, and just get on with it.
Well, maybe that's it. Maybe people are opting for Gangbusters and Headhunter, and then the Mark for Death is on other scrap units that they can't get to by the end of it.
Maybe, right? Maybe.
Because Gangbusters would cover a lot of your heavy hitters, Centurions, Paladins,
that's it,
whatnot.
Right. And that's
Headhunter
the thing,
will cover
like,
the characters, and then you can't mark for death them.
Yeah, why would you mark for death a Centurion unit or an Aggressor unit for 1 point when you can just get two, three, or four from Gangbusters?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
These are obviously, maybe they're not the reasons, but they're just, yeah. just giving speculation on what it could be. So
yes, that's it, yeah.
You could be wrong.
Yeah.
Just so the new mark for death is obviously... it's from 150 games, obviously, from a less number of games. Before, the old Mark for Death was from 1,700 games.
Okay, yeah.
So a substantial amount more games, yeah. And it was at 2.72. So it was...
Yeah, wow.
Worlds better, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, definitely right. A trend going on there. Gangbusters, then. Hey?
Yeah, Gangbusters. So Gangbusters, for every 6 wounds inflicted on a non-troop battlefield role multi-model unit... Composed entirely
Say that
of,
three times com, fast.
Composed, I'm not done, mate. Composed entirely of models with 3 or more wounds that does not have the vehicle, swarm, or monster keywords, score 1 point. So it's essentially anything with more than 1 wound that's in a unit that's not a vehicle, monster, or whatever, and has a minimum of 3 wounds. For every 6 wounds you deal, get a fucking point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That whole sentence underneath has no commas until vehicle, so nope. Technically you're not allowed to take a breath.
It's like
vehicle.
25 words until vehicles. Okay. so yeah, it's essentially a big tough shit. So like one of the biggest changes with this one I've seen is obviously non-troop. So your Breaches and your Tyranid Warriors don't give this up anymore, which is cool. How are the numbers looking, Luke?
So the numbers for these Gangbusters is a lot lower. Okay. So it's at... 50 games played for this one.
Oh, that's not many at all, yeah.
No, but it's at 2.73.
Okay.
Before, the old Gangbusters, which is from 650 games, it's at 3.23.
Yeah,
so
wow.
It's still a reliable pick.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that probably as coronavirus has impacted everything, that not many tournaments have gone out, and then people obviously... You're not scoring Gangbusters as much, you're not playing Gangbusters as much, trying out the other secondaries by the looks, like Born for Greatness.
Yeah, Born and, for Greatness. The Postman.
Yep. Yep. So yeah, it's a little bit less reliable at the moment. Yeah. What do you think, Danny?
It's situational, isn't it? It's another one where like there'll be obvious games where you can get Gangbusters, like really obvious games where it's like, cool, they got 12 Hive Guard. I've got to deal with that at some stage. I'm going to take Gangbusters. Or they've got a brick of Centurions. There's like, 24 wounds in a Centurion unit max, right? Mm-hmm. So you kill a Centurion unit, you get all your Gangbuster points. So, like, there's obvious games where you want it. So I guess it really depends on in that game where you pick it, can you just get it done? And sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes the answer is no, depending on how you play and how the matchup is to begin with. So maybe in... You know, I can see people playing a Marine matchup where they're not super confident, but they're going to take Gangbusters on the off chance that's going to give them 4 secondary points, and then they get stomped and get none. So,
yeah. I think also what's contributing is that the Marine meta's on a little bit of the decline. So before you saw players at, 50% Marine players almost, 40% Marine players, and most of them were running Centurions. So Gangbusters was probably overinflated a bit from that sort of era.
Yeah.
And now it's come back into, the real world where Centurions can actually be sort of dealt with when they're not in your lines turn one with a 3-inch charge or whatever.
Yep. Yeah.
So I think that's kind of maybe bringing it down into perspective. But again, there's only 50 games played with the new Gangbusters, so it's probably hard to make full conclusions from that.
That's it, right? We don't have enough data. And we haven't seen the true impact of stuff like Grey Knights and stuff in the meta, and even just new Tyranids and stuff. We haven't seen how they're going.
Exactly. Yeah. Good point. Good point.
You know, like if Space Wolves, if Thundercav are played, I don't know if they're good or not. I don't know enough about Space Wolves to comment on that, but like that would be one that gives Gangbusters. So like, who knows? But all right, this is the next one is my least favorite secondary, which is Gale. Oh, wait, we're on big game? Oh, shit, I don't mind big game. So, earn 1 point for every 10 cumulative wounds dealt to enemy units containing monsters, Titanic, or vehicle keywords.
Yeah, I think I'll quickly run through the things of that. So, big game, before, it was sitting at 2,000 games, it was at 2.83. Mm-hmm. And now, if I can find the new one, I can't see it here. I can't find it, man. Oh, here it is. It's at 2.53 at the moment. Okay,
quite similar.
Yeah. So the number of games picked is 200.
Interesting. Okay.
So the new secondary is 200 games played, 2.53 versus 2,000 games played at 2.83. So deflated a little bit. Deflated.
Yeah. So I like this one because it's just cumulative wins now.
I think that's a whole world better because how many times did you do, you know, you commit to a 9 or something.
Yeah.
And you deal 23 wounds and you're like, fuck, it's on 1 wound. I spent my whole game doing that and I got nothing from it, you know.
Or like an impulsor that ends its game on 1 wound or a repulsor that ends its game on like 3 or 4 wounds. Like you're actually getting a big game hunter point for pushing just slow ticking damage over something over 6 turns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Good point. Yep. I think that's a much better, well-rounded secondary.
It also
a bit more balanced.
If I can add, it also takes out, obviously not takes out the benefit, but it also rewards you when you're playing against stuff that can heal up, like Iron Hands, Dreadnoughts, and things like that, because you're still just doing ticking cumulative damage, and that's adding up.
Yeah, I think that's where they must have come up with this idea, because the 10 cumulative wounds, I think, is very, very balanced.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, cool.
It also punishes the mech MSU builds, like Venom Spam or something like that, where they don't quite fit into a category. Mm-hmm. Like they never fit into, Mark for Death or Big Game Hunter, which was power level 7, because I'm pretty sure they're like power level 6, so they just flew under the radar.
Yeah, and Big Game used to be 7 wounds or more, right?
Yeah, I think so, because Talos just fit into the category, because they adjusted it for Talos.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. I think that's good because then as well the as I said, the Venoms fall in, the Harlequin boats fall in, and you get a bit more value from it. Yeah,
that's it. Cool. Yeah, that's it. All right, well, Butcher's Bill, Luke.
Mm-hmm.
So score. I'll just load that up.
Butcher's Bill.
Destroy 2+ enemy units during a single player turn to earn 1 point. And I fucking hate this secondary, but I'll let you talk about the stats.
Butcher's Bill, let's find it. So Butcher's Bill now is... it's basically the same as before.
Mm-hmm.
So from 1,500 games played, it's got 2.63 points on average. So it's probably a decent secondary.
Yeah.
Whoops. Now let me just quickly check. I think it's actually cumulative because it's so this one's not separated into old and new because it's relatively
it's
the same
thing, isn't it? Yeah.
So so from 1,500 games played, 2.63 points on average. So unfortunately it seems quite reliable, seems like a good secondary to pick.
Yeah.
Why don't you like it?
Because mate, kill one for the primary is hard enough. This thing's telling me to kill two. What the fuck?
Kill one? What are you shooting at?
Yeah. So, exactly. I'm hiding in buildings. So, it depends on what type of army that you play, and it also depends on what you're facing. So, if you're facing a massive... Let's say I'm facing 2,000 points of Tempestus Scions. Of course I'm going to take Butcher's Bill. You'd be silly not to take Butcher's Bill, because you're just going to... Mm-hmm. The second they drop, you just mow through them all. But let's say you're facing a Marine army. Like, I can't think of a Marine army that's been doing consistently well that anyone want to take Butcher's Bill on. I can't think of, a Nid army that anyone want to take Butcher's Bill on because there's other secondaries that do it better. One argument for Butcher's Bill is against Tau, if they have a lot of little two-man drone units. Played an awesome game at CanCon with Jono Bishop, and I took Butcher's Bill because he had about 6 or 8 min drone units. So I was like, cool, the first 3 turns, I'm just going to use my Thunderfires and Whirlwinds. I'm going to hit 2 drone units a turn, get Butcher's Bill in the first 4 turns. And there's certain situations where it's really good. But my general gut feeling is a lot of players that are newer to ITC often overestimate their damage potential that their armies do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've obviously, you know, we've all been in the situation where it's like, okay, I got to kill one thing. And you just manage to, like, blink it to one wound and then they auto-pass morale or they don't fail morale or you just fail to kill something. This, in my opinion, in a lot of matchups, this perpetuates that. And it makes you go into a weird position where you might not want to be in, you know, to kill a second unit when often you just rather chill out and just get a kill one. And then you don't get it and then you're punished for it. So I think sometimes it can be a trap, but on the other side, if you're playing against some army that you think you confidently do it and you you can get the points, then it's worth it.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I agree for the most part. I think I certainly stay away from it for the most part. I just don't like secondaries where your opponent can dictate get it or not you know? Yeah. Like, so how I string out my units all the time is, you know, you have a big 25-man unit of Gaunts or, I don't know, 10-man Paladins. You put two or three, if you need to, or one in line of sight.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you have, like, a few units just chilling out of line of sight. And
you just, like, trickle them out of a building, right, to touch an objective.
Exactly. And then they commit and they don't overkill it because, you know, luck swings one way or another. And then they've just, you know, that whole turn that they dedicated to trying to get Butcher's Bill, it's done. It's gone.
Yeah,
you have to start from scratch.
That's exactly right. There's no, like, we talked about Big Game Hunter being cumulative wounds. We talked about, you know, Gangbusters being nice because every point of damage is worth something. With Butcher's Bill, there's so much, I guess, lost value or kind of lost energy, if you call it that. Yeah,
exactly. So my beef is with Butcher's Bill. If they're running that many bodies or units where you can reliably kill two a turn, which is not easy to do in this particular meta.
Yeah,
they're probably going to be running an army that is of equal or better choice to pick Reaper.
That's exactly right.
Which then brings perfectly into the point of Reaper. So Reaper now, new and old, was one of the highest scoring secondaries. So before, so I'm just going to beautifully transition in this, by the way.
Yeah, well done.
So Reaper at the moment from 100 games is at 3.5 points, right?
Yep.
That's excellent. Reaper before was at 3.21 points from 1,000 games. Mm-hmm. So it's still... It's good. It's always been good, and it's reliable. And I think Reaper, if you're going to go Butcher's Bill, you may as well, if obviously Reaper provides that it can get you the 4 points.
Yeah.
Or even the 3 points, because by the stats, it's more reliable that you'll get 3 points from Reaper than you will get from...
From Butcher's,
Butcher's Bill. But it depends on the game. So Butcher's Bill at the moment is 2.63. So you're more reliable to get your 3 points from the Reaper in an average match than you are to get from your 2.6 points from Butcher's Bill in the match where you thought you could have got it, you know?
Yeah. And I love the change they had for Reaper. It was so, so good because...
I think it was great,
Because before it was, what, kill 80 models for it or every 20 models.
But then you have so all just, these... Just real quick.
Yeah.
We haven't actually said the thing. So do you want to cover what the Reaper is?
Yeah. So essentially now Reaper is, I believe it's 1 point for every 20 wounds you do to infantry.
Infantry, swarm, bikers, drones.
Biker drones, yeah.
Yeah.
So like, that's such a catch-all, you know, selection of stuff. Let's say you have intercessors before. It's like, cool, 10 intercessors is nowhere near comparable to the durability of 10 Gretchen, for example, or 10 Gaunts, right? But to get one Reaper point on an intercessor arm, you've got to kill 20 of those guys. This is the old version. Now, you kill 10 of them, you get a point. You know, it's just better, and it makes that wound... a bit more, I guess, equal, that wounds characteristic. So I love it. It means you can plink away at it over the whole game, over six turns. You know, you can push when you want to, and you don't have any of that, well, you have less of that wasted energy. Let's say you do seven or eight wounds a turn. Cool, I'll eventually get, you know, two, three points from this, and then one turn I'll have a big turn already, 25 wounds, and yep, that's my Reaper done.
Exactly. I think the cumulative aspect of it is what sells this as reliable, because you know, on both before and the old and new, it was a reliable count of what you're doing. Whereas Butcher's Bill, if there's that one turn where you committed and, you know, they saved one model, they auto passed morale, or they pulled a little trick that for a stratagem that you didn't know, you've lost that for the turn.
That's it, yeah. All it you takes only got a well-timed transhuman, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And realistically, when you think about it, Butcher's Bill to kill two units a turn reliably. You need to do that for four turns, and if you don't do it in the first one or two turns, it's unlikely you're going to have the damage potential to do it in turns five and six, or B, they're going to have the units to do it, five or six.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So it's, I think what the secondaries are saying to us, particularly with what the stats are saying, is that your cumulative scoring secondaries are the ideal picks.
Yeah.
Because nothing goes to waste is, I think, what you said before, which is really good.
Yeah, and that's actually a really good point to end off the first part of this analysis, is that, you know, the ones that you can chip away at are usually the more reliable ones, and the ones mm-hmm. that you have to risk, you know, your position, your units, your scoring, and your points at the end of the day to do are probably the less reliable ones, and the ones that will score with less points. But, yeah, we'll be back in a bit to talk about the maneuver secondaries.
Yeah, and just a message from our sponsors, Cell at BGC.
Hey guys, Sal here at BGC. We've been trading on the south side of Brisbane since 2018, providing customers with A-grade products and gaming facilities. Since our establishment, we've strived to stock a diverse selection of products that can be hard to otherwise acquire locally. This includes fantastic brands such as Green Stuff World, Vallejo, Redgrass Games, ModiFX Travel Cases, Winsor & Newton, Chessix, and Liquitex, to name a few. To find us on Facebook, simply search Brisbane Gaming Collective and hit that like button. You can also check us out at our online store, which is www.bgcollective.com.au. You're listening to The Normal Blokes.
All right, and we're back for part two to talk about the maneuver secondaries. So, starting off the maneuvers, we've got handy old Recon, mate. So, Luke, tell us a bit about Recon.
Yeah, so... As we've come to find out, particularly with the terrain setups and a lot of tournament setups, like what's the ITC standard ruins that we found from LVO? That
seems to be the pro tabletop terrain and stuff. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, yep. It's becoming more dense, I would say, shifting away from the sort of as a counter to the shooting meta. And as a result, I think maneuver secondaries and positioning are very important now. And I like that ITC's put them as you must pick them. Mm-hmm. I think it creates a more balanced environment. And Recon in particular, I think, is benefiting from this quite heavily. So Recon's one of the top scoring secondaries at the moment.
Yep.
Before, it was at 2.78, and now it's basically the same. It's at 2.72. Mm-hmm. So basically the same. Before, it was picked in 2,200 games. Now it's only been picked in 110 games.
Yep.
But I think it's fairly consistent, to say the least.
Yeah.
I think the benefit of being able to pick up 2 points in a turn is very efficient.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great.
You
know, being able to tally up your points early game and making your opponent play catch up for the rest, I think is pretty good.
Yeah. I think Recon is great. I think the change to it was really, really nice in that you can double score it. I think Recon rewards two different types of armies. I think it rewards initially armies that can take the center of the board and move in a small bubble from the center with a lot of units. Mm-hmm. And it also rewards armies that can move across the board very quickly on the outskirts. So there's kind of two ways you can play the Recon game. You can take the middle and shuffle units around to get, you know, 1 or 2 points when needed. You know, if you have 8 units, 2 in each quadrant, you get 2 points for the turn. Or if you're an army that can throw little units in corners, that can hide, that can stay there and survive, you're just ticking away Recon slowly. Those units might not mean a lot to you. They could be, you know, 50-point, you know, drop units of Scions or Marines or, you know, a Grey Knight strike unit. But if your opponent's got to turn his firepower and dedicate firepower to killing that unit, that unit's worth way more than 50 points to you. That unit's awesome. And it's also getting your points every turn. So I think this is good because a lot of armies can benefit from it. A lot of different army types can benefit from it. And like you said, Luke, you can max Recon in 3 turns now.
Yeah.
Even 2 turns.
I think that's incredible.
Yeah.
But particularly what you said before about the elite units taking the middle of the board and playing around that, I think that's a very common thing at the moment.
That's it, yeah.
There's so much combat armies going around. You know, Space Wolves, Blood Angels, all that stuff is coming out quite strong. You know, Grey Knights, just taking the middle of the board and saying, all right, now you play around me, you make the mistake, and then I'll capitalize. Yeah.
Mono Blood Angels love this.
Yeah, and it's so dense for terrain, so you'll never be able to get all your units shooting at the same target
That's
if your opponent plays it right, because they can just put one or two units out in line of sight in one range, you shoot from that angle, they'll move, remove from angle A, and then angle B, you know, doesn't get its, you know, typical shooting.
Yeah.
So you can sort of mitigate how much shooting people can do, and those board controlling, center of the board dominating zoning armies are very good at recon.
Yeah, so we'll talk about a few of these maneuver ones, but the maneuver secondaries, in my opinion, turned this game, like the ITC Championships, from a game of just playing battleships with each other to an actual intricate game where you have to control areas of the board, where, you know, your target priority changes depending on your opponent's secondaries and things like that. So I love it.
I think it was a great change. Yep.
Yeah.
Behind really enemy these secondaries, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So behind enemy lines, another favorite of mine. If at least one of your units that does not have the flyer battlefield role is wholly within the enemy deployment zone at the end of your turn, earn 1 point. Starting from turn two, and this is awesome, starting from turn two and on, if you have three or more non-flyer battlefield role units wholly within your opponent's deployment zone at the end of your turn, earn 2 points. So a little while ago, behind enemy lines was, I believe, at the start of your turn, you had to still be there, but now it's just at the end of your turn. So,
which is
amazing. Yeah. So, I think it's great. It means you can like trickle units slowly, and it's okay if they die, if that's part of your plan to just get a few points. It also means on a turn you do a big throw of units across, you get a double tap for behind enemy lines. And if, let's say, you know, you've got three units in the backfield, if your opponent doesn't kill all three of them straight away, next turn you get another behind enemy lines anyway. So it's like, cool, you've just paid for, you know, if they get three kill points off those, you've essentially got 3 points back for doing that. So any damage they do is just bonus.
Exactly. So I think like for this, I think the minimum is 2 or 3 points. And so the stats will say here exactly that. So basically behind enemy lines is sitting at about 2.3 from 700 games, and from 100 games, it's at 2.2 in the new behind enemy lines.
Oh,
so I think we haven't seen Grey Knights really in the meta just yet. I think when Grey Knights come through, behind enemy lines would be a big one, because it's one I definitely like to take as Grey Knights, because you can just force so much, and you can get 2 or 3 points from it with your strike squads coming in. You send three strike squads in, which you're going to run at least one battalion. Three strike squads, bang, at the end of your turn, because you're not going to charge, right? And you're not going to be silly enough to get them shot off from intercept.
Yeah.
So you're going to get 2 points from them, and then they've got two pallies in their face doing damage. Are they going to shoot your strikes to try and dodge that?
That's
cool.
It, right?
If they do, your pallies are going to walk over them. So
exactly, yeah.
I think it's great. And then you're going to get probably 2 to 3 points minimum from it if you play it, if you have the army that can do it.
Yeah.
So I do think it's a very good maneuver secondary.
And if the army that you're playing has the ability to do it, I mean, like I play the Deathwatch and Blood Angels at the moment. Everyone knows that Blood Angels characters can literally be anywhere they want. The Deathwatch, you can drop down a librarian or a captain or whatever and a kill team, and then beacon a unit over to them, and that's immediately your three. You know, Mephiston's probably there because he's getting born for greatness on the side, so that's just an extra. But I love behind enemy lines now, and that's... Like we said, all those three units that you throw back there that are eventually going to get you 3 or 4 points, just let them kill, like, you know, one or two units, and they've got more points that they're giving up than they're giving up, and it's great.
So, ground control?
Yeah, ground control, mate. And talked about Born for Greatness being my favorite kill one. Ground control is my favorite hold one. Earn 1 point for each objective held at the end of the last battle round played. If you hold all the objectives on the table at the game's end, you score all 4 points, which is a really nice change for the smaller objective games.
Yeah, I actually do like this one, particularly after the edit, because before, when there's only three objectives, you get 3 points. It's a little bit annoying, but it's really good now, and I think it's good for those armies that are still playing the kill game. If you're like, it's your win condition to kill them, right?
Yeah.
But then ground control allows you to sort of forget about a secondary, focus on killing them. That's but it. You've got to keep in your mind, in the back of your mind, I need to be here by the end of the game. So you need to move accordingly, right? And I think it's good for the player that's aware of what he needs to do and where he needs to be by what turn. So by turn three, middle of the board, and then from there I can push on.
Yeah.
But it's sort of, it's unforgiving for the players that get too caught up in killing and don't actually focus on positioning as well. So it's, I think it's a bit of a balanced one, to be honest.
Yeah, well, first off the bat, there's a massive advantage with going second for ground control, like an unbelievable advantage.
Exactly.
To the point where if, you know, the army I play, if I was going first, I probably would never take it. There'd be so few games if I take it. I'd only take it if I knew I was going to just absolutely gutter stomp my opponent. Because the power of just throwing a unit onto an objective and not killing anything and just getting a point just at the end of the game, as long as you're alive, is huge. And it feels like we're playing the ETC or WTC style missions. Where, you know, you can, you know, lose a lot of models, you can get your maelstrom up, you can get some kill points, and that last end game scoring matters so much. And I love it in the game. I think it's a cool part of the game, and I think a lot of people can build for it without necessarily having to, you know, do a huge amount. They've just got to play smart and think smart, and that's it.
So before I say the stats of this one, I wanted to ask, do you pick secondaries before you know who's going first or second?
I think now the attacker defender role is the first thing that happens, so you actually pick after.
Yeah, cool.
I
think that's really strong then, because if your opponent is going first and they pick ground control, you could pick ground control too if you think you can 100% do it.
Right, yeah.
And then you can literally just counter.
Yeah.
That's a hard counter. I think that's a good counter for the first turn.
Because then you just blow them away in turn 6 or turn 5 whenever the game finishes.
Yeah, it could be up to an 8-point differential pretty easily that's one turn.
Yeah, and so then on top of that, a hold more, 9 points, yeah.
Exactly. So that's a big...
Yeah, that's like 20% of the max score right there.
Yeah, so it's a big swing secondary. You need to be aware that you're playing it, though, because I think it's really unforgiving if you get carried away doing the wrong thing.
It's also quite unforgiving if you know you're going to lose a lot of units throughout the game. Like, if you know it's going to be a big, bloody fight, and you can't stay alive, like, the first half of the game, the first 3 turns, if you can't maintain durability on the table for those 3 turns, it's really tricky, because then... You've got to, you know, with like a third of an army, you've got to march yourself onto all the objectives or 4 objectives minimum or whatever, and somehow not die in 3 turns when they've got a lot of their army. So it's definitely one you have to think about. Like you said, Luke, you've got to really think about it the whole game.
Yep, for sure. So with that being said, I think our opinions reflect what the score is on it. It's it's 2.16. So right in the middle.
Okay.
It's a decent secondary, but I think it can probably swing from those
stats.
It seems like some person's either got all of them or none of them.
Well, I've definitely played games where I've gotten 0 just because I've gotten tabled, right?
Like, exactly. So I think, you really need to know your matchup, and you really need to be aware of your positioning by the end of the game. Where you need to be by certain turns. Mm. I think that's a key contributor to this secondary.
Yeah, that's it. All right. King of the Hill. So, you want to read this one out, Luke? Because fucking huge.
Oh, God. You gave me the biggest one.
Yeah,
right?
I'm here taking Headhunter and Recon and shit.
Yeah. So, King of the Hill. At the end of your turn, the player who chooses this secondary objective scores 1 point. If they have 2 units that are any combination of non-character, multi-model units, or units with the Titanic keyword wholly within 9 inches of the center of the table. Beginning in the second battle round, if the player who chose this secondary has 4 or more qualifying units wholly within 9 inches of the center of the table, that is, that player instead scores 2 points. So 2 points if you have 4 units within the center of the board, 9 inches, or 1 point if you have 1 model. Mm-hmm. Sorry, 2 models.
Yep.
Multi-model unit, it just specifies what multi-model units are. So it's good. You can't have characters in it, which, you know, when you first read it, you're like, man, that's good. And then it says non-character, multi-model units.
Mm.
So you can't have, you know, those, what are they called? Non-targetable, non-character units in it.
Yeah.
You have to have multi-model units, so troops, elites, whatever.
Yeah. So what armies do this well, man?
I'm thinking straight off the bat, your Death Guard... we'll probably do this well.
Yep.
Probably your Alpha Legion, untargetable stuff. What else is pretty good? Probably Grey Knights would be good at it.
I mean, Tau is pretty solid at it with drones and stuff. You can have little drone units.
Good.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. So Tau, so you'd have drones, right? And that's pretty much your only thing. So you can't have your Riptides, you can't have your what else is town run at the moment?
So if you imagine a town, I've been talking to a couple of townmates, and I'll bring Jono into it as well. I've been talking to him about this with King of the Hill, because I've always thought it was a shit secondary. But if a tower army is throwing like 2-man drone units out to screen against like Centurions and stuff, it's a pretty good way to get King of the Hill for a couple of turns.
Yeah, it's not bad. How do you think the secondary scores? Sorry,
I would say pretty poorly, to be honest.
Yeah, so the old King of the Hill was 1.8,
yep,
and the new King of the Hill is 1.4.
One of the guys in our gaming group says there's three constants in life: death, taxes, and King of the Hill being a shit secondary.
And that's probably the most consistent one.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, it's good, but I just think the restriction on what units have it is annoying. Yeah. And the fact that you have to be Holy Within. So the Holy Within really hurts, because, you know, if you're keeping these big beat stick units that are durable in the middle, you can't really use them to zone people off certain objectives that are within range of the middle of the board, because you have to stay there for the points.
Yeah,
you know?
That's it. Yeah.
You can't charge off it. You can't move off it. You can't Grey Knight's Gate of Infinity off it. They have to stay right the fuck there.
Yeah, it's... man, see, so it comes back to... if your army wants to do this, you know, that's cool. Just take it. You're going to do it. Like, there's a few Space Wolf lists going around that I've had the pleasure of playing that have, you know, multiple impulses and multiple mini intercessor units and stuff that just sit in the middle of the board and can't get charged. And an army like that, an army like Tau that wants to get to the middle of the board with all the drones, you know, it's good for them. But if your army doesn't want to do that, if it doesn't want to be anywhere near that middle of the board area for a long time, especially, you know, more than half of the turns, this is not one for you. It's not a secondary that you want to get anywhere near.
Yeah. And as well, considering the terrain setups, I think the middle of the board, to be Holy Within 9 with certain units that are durable enough to stay in the middle of the board, I don't think they'd be able to hide out of line of sight as well.
Yeah, that's
I think you'll have to be copying a lot of damage that you otherwise wouldn't do.
Yeah, and on top of that, man, I was just going to add, if they've got big L's and stuff, that's fucking terrifying if you're playing against GSC or Blood Angels. Like, they're just going to come in with no Overwatch charges and destroy you.
Yeah.
Why would you ever want to be in the center against them? Yeah.
I've always said as well, this was particularly focused more on the old secondaries, but I always said that secondaries that made you play the game different to how you'd normally play are always bad.
That's it, yeah.
So I didn't like the old recon on specific armies.
Because it took so long, right? Yeah.
Well, it took so long, and for four turns you had to play not focused on the best to make you mitigate damage. You'd have to play, all right, I need to move this unit here, but I'd rather move it here to get the secondary point, but I need to move it here to win the, you know, to win the game sort of thing.
Yep, that's it.
So it's a bit of a gamble, and it makes you play a bit differently. But the new recon giving you 2 points, I think, is where it, you know, you could do it in 2 turns.
Yep, that's it.
I think it's a lot better. But yeah, so King of the Hill is one of those ones that's a slow, grindy one. I don't think you're ever going to be able to get the 4 units there.
Oh, I reckon a Tau Far Side Enclaves drop with a whole bunch of drones could do it pretty well.
Yeah, true.
If they had a drop zone, that is, yeah.
Yeah, yep, fair. Sure, some armies potentially could do it. I think for the most part, a lot can't.
Yeah, that's it.
I could be wrong. But, I think that's what hinders this one a little bit.
Yeah, of course. All right, engineers, mate. I'll go through that one. So, sure.
Yeah, fuck you. You read a bit.
So, select two non-character, non-fortification units from your army to be engineers. Starting from the battle round 2, if one or more of these units starts and ends your turn, starts and ends being the key, within 3 inches of the same objective being the key, objective marker you control, and did not make any attacks or manifest any psychic powers during your turn, earn 1 point at the end of the turn. If you have 2 engineers units performing this role on 2 separate objectives, and one or more of the objectives is outside your deployment zone, earn 2 points. These units may not score the objective if they join other units during the course of play or split into multiple units, which is, you know, important. Units chosen to be engineers may never benefit from a rule that keeps them from being the target of attacks, for example, Cloud of Flyers. They can benefit from terrain blocking line of sight to them. That was a fucking mouthful.
Yeah, look, Zap is longer and I'm not reading it. We'll summarize.
Mate, oh, jeez. So, engineers, what do you think?
Look, I think it's pretty good. Certain armies can do it really well. Other armies can't do it at all. It was particularly worse before when the stay in devastated doctrine artillery, I'll fuck you up for the whole game, was going on. Because the Imperial Fist artillery just, oh, those are your engineer units? All right, just remove them for me.
Yeah.
it wasn't that great. I think it should be hopefully getting better now because there's less Atalanta-site shooting that actually does overwhelming amounts of damage. Sure, it still might be there, but I don't think it's as potent as it was before.
Yeah.
And the only thing I don't like about it is that you won't put it on your big beat stick units because then obviously they can't do...
They can't interact, yeah.
Exactly, and that's probably a win condition. You know, if your big beat stick units aren't being beat stick units, it's probably going to not turn out well. What do you think about the engineers? Yeah, so
I think it's good if there are a number of turns, like maybe the first three turns where you don't need a specific unit. So funnily enough, a lot of people think of Death Company as a big like turn one hammer. Yeah, if I'm going second and the opponent doesn't have any line of sight, out of line of sight, you know, I'll make a random Death Company unit engineers and I'll be like, cool, I'll get 2 or 3 points off them and another engineers unit will, you know, work away somewhere, and then turn 4, turn 5 I'll throw them out. So there's pros and cons to engineers. If you need specific units to do stuff at, you know, non-variable times, like if you need something to do something on turn 2 or turn 3, then you wouldn't engineers it because you need the shooting, you need the combat. But like a random unit of intercessors that you can, you know, afford to keep back and engineers, or a random unit of incursors that you don't need that's going to sit on a midfield objective turn 2 and double up on it, it's pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The
other thing I was going to add is this is another one where you have to be really, really careful because your opponent can control your scoring very heavily if they just dive or shoot these units and they die.
Yes, that was what I was going to say. Yeah. Sometimes people put them on really squishy units.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, I've got my, you know, my 3 queens that are going to go up and zone them and do all this, but, you know, I'm going second and engineers are sitting in the back, they won't hit them, but then they commit and they just kill your engineer units. It's points that you cannot accommodate for later in the game.
That's it.
So if that's a huge, huge loss. So I think, who was it? I can't remember what it was. I think it was a game. I can't remember who it was, but anyway, they were going second and they put engineers on one of their units and they put them a bit too far forward, and then their opponent, who was a very good player, used Forlorn Fury and sent their big death unit company in and just cleared all their objective scorers, and then that was it. Couldn't score the game.
Yep. Yeah.
So I think like that's where it becomes, oh shit, you know, you need to be aware of the potential of these units and how much of a threat they become to your opponent. So, yeah, need to be mindful. So that being said, engineers secondaries, the new one after about 150 games is about 2.37. So about 2.4
that's all right.
points. Mm-hmm. Engineers old was about 2.8.
Okay.
From 1,000 games. So I think the old engineers could be manipulated with the marine intercessor bombs doing intercessor things.
Yes, yeah.
I think now it's less exploitable by that. I think before, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know, but before, could they split the unit and then engineer both units? So I can't remember. Worth of marines?
I can't remember. Hey, I
vaguely remember it happening at
Menzer. before the change, you couldn't double up on it anyway.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, but I don't know how it would interact with the unit that can split up. I can't remember, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Fair. Well then, can't make conclusions from that. But yeah, it's interesting that it's changed a bit.
Yeah.
I would have thought, honestly, it would be lower before because there's just so much out of line of sight shooting before.
Yeah.
maybe people have gone a bit more reserved from it because their fear of the artillery spam still.
Yep.
but at least from what I'm seeing, there's not as much artillery spamming. However, there is Grey Knights, which probably are equally as bad.
I'd rather be shot by a Thunderfire than 10 Paladins, mate. That's for sure. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, the Strength 6, Sneak 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so all right, that's engineers.
Yeah,
fairly reliable. Yep. Need to pick your games. Need to be careful of it. Yeah, is the summary.
The other thing about engineers is you can there are certain things you can do to affect how your opponent plays, and having engineers is one thing that can sometimes, if your opponent has no reason to engage. So let's say you're playing a pretty even game. Yeah, you've got, and I had actually a game like this, exactly like this morning, where you're getting hold one, no one's killing anything, you're just chilling out, but one player is getting engineers and one player has ground control, and the other player's going, shit, they're just going to get, you know, those secondaries over me, I've got to do something. And that forces, pulls out a mistake out of someone, and that can be very crucial. So you've got to be really careful, number one, when you're playing against engineers to realize the value of, you know, diving that engineer unit and doing something. Could that, you know, make the whole plan fall over? And it's not worth it. 100% not worth it. Just give them the 4 points if that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But all right, we'll move on to Sappers.
All right. Do you know this one? Because I prefer...
It's pretty much like you select two units. When they're on objective, if they don't shoot or fight or manifest psychic powers or whatever, they can turn the objective off your opponent. That's essentially what it is. Look, I don't expect it to score well.
Right, so how is this different from engineers? Because it seems the same, except that you can turn
it off. It turns off the primary for your opponent. So your opponent can't score hold one. So I think of this as super obsec. So it not only you not only control it, but you turn off any ability for your opponent to score that objective as long as this unit doesn't shoot or fight or whatever. So
it's the same as engineers, but better.
Yeah, because it can affect your opponent's score. But the thing is, it's also got the same caveat of shoot and fight. So let's say you put a unit onto objective, being like, I'm going to sap this, and then they just charge you. They get control of it again, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
So I think it's cool with things that are hard to engage, like impulses, make really cool sappers units. I know a lot of people have talked about the idea. I know Eric was talking about the idea of using Tyranid Gaunts as sappers units, like just tendrilling them out, touching an objective. But it's always tricky, right? Because all you've got to do is get charged and the sapping stops.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't expect it to score highly. I've actually never taken sappers.
Wait, sappers stops if you get charged?
I'm pretty sure if you shoot and fight, man, you don't get sappers.
Well, you can just elect not to fight, right?
No, I'm pretty sure you have to fight.
Oh, no, you have to fight. Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
That seems weird then.
Yeah. Mm. So, it's interesting. But yeah, what are the scores on sappers?
So, sappers. So, it is a new one. Ooh, it's not. It's, I'd like to say inconclusive because it's only got 20 games played.
Oh, wow.
It's 2 points.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so not much we can really
say
for that one.
Well, one thing is we can already see it's not a very popular secondary.
Yes.
Because of all the alternatives.
Yeah. The alternatives and that that caveat that you just said, that if you get charged, it's gone. Because,
yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, that would suck.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's another one where, like you said about the old recon, it puts you in a position you don't normally want to be. What if you wanted to hold back for those turns instead of put something onto an objective? Because it can't be your home field objectives. It's got to be like the midfield or your opponent ones. So, I'm not convinced it's amazing. Some people might have different ideas. But yeah, I guess we need more data.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. And the final one, Luke?
Postman.
Do you want to read this one out?
Postman Pat, is there a brief summary you'd rather go to, or otherwise I can read it?
It's not that big, mate. It's not as long as Sappers.
All right, so select a single model from your army that does not have the vehicle, monster, or titanic keyword, with the exception of Imperial Knights and Chaos Knights, which may be made the Postman. so this model can be in a unit. Yeah, fair. Oh, this model can be in a unit. That's cool. This model may choose to gather intel on an objective within 3 inches that you control at the end of your turn. You may only gather intel from each objective once per game. Earn 1 point per objective you gather from intel from. If at the end of the game you've gathered intel from every objective on the table, you automatically score all 4 points. That's kind of like, they should just call it like baseball or home run.
They should
or
just
something.
Call it like lesser Born for Greatness, because it's like a half Born for Greatness, isn't it? Yeah, you're just running. Yeah, you're just being a little baseball dude running from base to base.
You know where this, like, I see potential, like, with this, would be Space Wolves. Because can select a multi-model unit, and it can be one model in that unit. So you can just go running around the board, doing whatever you do, scoring as many points as you can, and they'll keep shooting it down. And when you get to one model, turn it into a character.
Yeah.
You can't target it.
But it's got to be that specific model. Yeah, cool.
So that's kind of cool.
I like this one for the Saint, because you can just move around your own home field with the Saint.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I like this one with like jump libbies and stuff. Like Meph is actually not bad at this. But because you can, like, if you're playing the 6-objective one or the 5-objective one and you have, you know, a couple in your home field, it's pretty simple, man. Just scoot them around, you get 2 points, throw them out later, you get a third one.
I think this one, I don't know if it'll perform well. I haven't looked at the data just yet because I like to give mine opinions before I see it, but I don't know. I think it kind of forces you to play a certain way. I think if your army is very maneuverable, combat orientated, where you take most of the board, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
I think for your gun lines, I just wouldn't even follow this.
Yeah.
You're not going to make him to 4 objectives. No. So
the the other thing is, as we've gone through them all, there are so many standout objectives. Like you've probably heard in the way we talk how much we love Reaper, how much we love Recon. How good we think ground control behind enemy lines, you know, Mark for Death can be. When you have all those standout options, sometimes even if these ones are all right, you just don't take them because there's a better one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So as for the stats then, the Postman has been picked 50 times.
Yeah.
It's got an average of 2.41 points, so it's not bad.
Yeah, fair enough. And I guess you got to think about it this way. Like, if you're getting Postman, why aren't you just getting sappers? Oh, sorry, not sappers. Why aren't you getting recon? Or why aren't you getting behind enemy lines or whatever, you know? Like,
exactly.
If you can do that, you can probably do another one a little bit better and not just dependent on one character, which on the same note, or one unit, you know, on the same note, your opponent can have control of that and just kill it.
Exactly. Yeah. So that comes back to the point before where we said, if you give your opponent the opportunity to deny you those points easily, it becomes a bit of a liability. Yeah. So, yeah, I think I personally would try and avoid this one because there's probably always a better option. Mm. Yeah, I mean, at this point from the stats, it's hard to say because there's not that much sample size, but I think, you know, the mechanism behind the Postmen is kind of a bit harder to do. Yeah. I think old school reliably scores more points on average. So if you're stuck for a third point, you could just pick the old school. Or alternatively, you could probably just pick another. You'd probably just take like a recon.
Just Mark for Death something, man. Like,
yeah,
honestly.
And then Mark for Death something.
Surely in 6 turns, you can kill 2 units, right? And that's like, yeah. Or like Reaper, you know, you'll slowly chip away at it. So, yeah,
like you'll reliably get two or three points from Reaper.
I think we're just spoiled for choice that secondaries like this just don't get picked, but it's interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think they need to like maybe just reconsider those secondaries like Sappers, Postman, and maybe King of the Hill, just because they kind of play into other secondaries a little bit, but they're a little bit worse.
And I believe the maneuver ones can actually be scored, together. Like they don't stop. Like if you're scoring engineers one turn, it doesn't stop you scoring recon from that unit and stuff. So, like that's good. You know, you can score King of the Hill and Recon with the same models.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess that's our recap of the ITC secondaries. Those who are getting into these this type of format, I think it's good to look at, you know, what are your win conditions in all your games, and obviously the secondaries are only part of it. You've got the primary mission, which is kill and hold. Your secondaries are just an adjunct to that. So I guess the more experience you get with these and the more games getting under your belt, I'm definitely, you know, still learning more about these missions and how to play them better and how to plan my turns out better. But do you have any closing comments, Luke?
No, I just think be mindful of what's reasonable and what are your win condition secondaries. Like, if I pick this, is it going to just going to escalate my win further? Or if I pick this, is it going to give me the win over the loss? Like, where each secondary stands for you in what game?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're already going to table your opponent and there's an opportunity for big game as part of the tabling, or there's ground control, but your army is slow. I mean, obviously, you know, you could pick big game for you over ground control if you've already picked a recon or something like that.
Yeah, I think, like you said, consistency is better than overreaching, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Minimizing the chance.
That's it, yeah.
So you're happy to close off there? Otherwise, I could just briefly cover the top.
Oh, yeah, go for it, man.
Okay, so just as a little additional piece, I picked just the four top armies that I thought would be the biggest, like, sort of gatekeeper to your victory at that RTT or GT or whatever. I picked, well, the big dogs that I thought were probably Eldar, Marines, GK, and Orcs. I thought they're probably the most common armies that you see. And I just picked the average points that every army scores against these armies.
Yeah, okay.
So if I filter them, I'm just going to quickly filter them. Okay, so versus Marines, your top performing secondaries are Reaper, Postman, funnily enough. I don't know why, but ignore that. That's only got 6 games picked. Gangbusters is up there at 2.96 points. I'd say that's because of Centurions. The Reaper, because of Intercessor spam.
Yep.
And then the last one that's not an old one is... Geez, a lot of old ones up here. Marked for death. Headhunter and Butcher's Build, funnily enough, are tied. I don't know why Butcher's Build would be tied.
Interesting.
Here.
Interesting. Yeah, maybe against Tau or something, but...
Okay, so moving on. So these are just, secondaries. Grey Knights, probably not a good one to pick because there's not that many games, but obviously to pick against Grey Knights and do your best, Gangbusters is the number one selected. And it scores about 3.5 points on average. What else we got? Marked for Death is the next one at 3.17. And then Reaper is another one. Interesting. Not a bad choice because I guess double pallies gives up 60 wounds. So
yeah, well, I mean, killing double pallies, good luck.
Yeah, I mean, it's a win condition, so he has
well,
to do
right,
it.
That's right, you know.
Yeah. And then Headhunter's the next one at 3.
Yeah, that
three
makes
points.
Sense because, you know, all the characters are often quite close together. So if you can get something in and just clear out, that'll do the job.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
All right. So Eldar, the biggest one
I reckon
was...
it's big game, right?
You reckon?
Well, I don't know.
Right now, the best one to score against them is Butcher's Bill.
Wow, okay.
Well, think about
here,
it. So you've got the Vibro Cannon.
Here I am hating on Butcher's Bill, and it's doing great, mate.
Yeah, it's at 2.78 for Butcher's Bill there. Nice. because they've got so many Vibro Cannons and Night Spinners and multi-units now. That's
interesting.
Man, these old ones are cluttering my data. And new engineers against them, but it's not many games.
That's actually quite surprising if they've got spinners, but okay, cool.
Headhunter, big one, 2.5.
Yep. Fair enough.
Because it's a bunch of characters.
They die,
And then Pick Your Poison's gone. Wait, Pick Your Poison's gone, hey? Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Ground Control would be the next big one at 2.5. Probably because you tailed your opponent.
Yeah, fair enough.
You've tabled Eldar, so this is if you're picking against that army.
Yes, yeah. And I guess the current Eldar lists don't have a huge amount of OBSEC troops, do they?
No, it's basically at the moment it's vibro cannon spam, probably like a unit of spears or a bunch of tanks, or a bunch of planes. So no, it's not not very. It's more of a kill you army, and
yeah, that's it.
So against orcs, Reaper at 3.6 almost from 240 games.
Mm-hmm.
Big Game Hunter? ? At 3.3. Who's playing? This is from 10 games.
Oh,
from the new,
okay.
So obviously, 10
one dude, play one dude's just smashing units. His friend, just absolutely smashing his mate, and just putting the data in. Okay.
Yeah. He's playing his friend who's playing Gorkonauts and stuff. All right. So Reliable Headhunter is about 2.9 points. That's from 150 games. So this is new data, by the way. Mm-hmm. And Butcher's Bill. Butcher's Bill and Old School are the two big ones. So Butcher's Bill is at 2.7 and Old School is at 2.5. So Butcher's Bill probably from the mech gun spam and stuff like that.
Yeah, I guess. And little Gretchen units and things. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So those are probably the key things to pick against those factions, those top factions.
Fuck.
Cool.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough. That actually is quite surprising. But I guess if you're playing against them, that's not a good... not a bad piece of advice to take on, but obviously don't let it go away from your game plan.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, thanks, Luke, for the data. I know you're better at sorting through this shit than me. I just look at teeth all day. yeah, for anyone who liked the episode, feel free to give us a like on Facebook and subscribe to us on iTunes. Leaving a review, of course, helps new listeners find us. That'd be awesome. We also have a Patreon at www.patreon.com/thenormalblokes, which helps us cover our costs. Big shout out again to Sal from Brisbane Gaming Collective, BGC, who's recently got his online store up online, and that'll have 40k stuff in there shortly. But yeah, hope everyone's staying safe and take care. See ya.